Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. Good evening, everyone. My name is Matthew James, and thank you for tuning in to Conversations with Spirit 2 here on Mike Spirit FM, I should say. I've still got the Freudian slip from Tuesday's show here on Blog Talk Radio. In the studio with me is my two wonderful guests, Sharon Tunbridge and Nikki Stewart. And we are here to talk about psychic theory, spiritual development. We're going to have discussions about spiritual matters, psychic awareness. This show is all about you the listeners, and what you need to know about 2013, about spiritual development, about spiritual awareness, psychic experiences that you might be having, psychic phenomena that you need to speak about. Anybody who is interested, please phone in and share your experiences with us. We are going to be talking tonight about laws of abundance and attraction, law of attraction, karma, karmic lessons, karmic bonds. But we do encourage anyone to ring in with their own experiences or questions of a spiritual nature. You can come in to the show via Skype. There is a Skype button on the Blog Talk Radio page. By following the instructions, I think you're going to press the one on the keypad when asked. You will join the queue, and then we can bring you into the show, and you will be able to ask your questions live to all of us or one of us, or just share your experiences with us. For anyone who wants to actually call in, the actual guest call-in number is area code 760-283-4611. So we do welcome people to phone in and to Skype in. Also, if anyone's in the chat room, please ask a few questions and we will cover the questions that are being asked. This is basically the idea of this particular show. Conversations with Spirit 1, which goes out on the Monday evening in the UK, is more for the live readings. But this is the spiritual side. This is where we and my guests want to discuss the spirituality and make it a bit of a psychic awareness evening, which is a bit of a change. I want to actually, in future shows, I want to actually do like an actual live development evening where I'll have a development class in and there will be a series of exercises via the connection on Blog Talk Radio where you listeners can actually maybe join in and maybe try a bit of psychic development. But without further ado, let me introduce my two guests. There is Sharon Tunbridge. Hiya, Sharon.
Hi, Matthew. How are you tonight?
I'm very well, thanks, Sharon. And we also have Nikki Stewart from Queensland. Hiya, Nikki. Welcome back.
Thanks, Matt. How are you going?
I'm good. So, ladies, how are you both? Are you up for this evening?
Absolutely. Very much looking forward to it.
Yep, me too. Can't wait to get started.
Awesome. What have we been up to? I mean, I know it's last week since I last spoke to you, Sharon, but Nikki, what have you been doing in the last 2 weeks?
Just a bit of work, obviously the psychic work, and it's been a really good time. I've felt to do a lot of clearing, and it's funny that part of the topic is about abundance and bringing in all those things and soul ties and all that stuff. It's quite interesting because I think it's very pertinent at the moment.
Well, not only that, I mean, it's your specialist subject, isn't it, Nikki? I mean, they do call you the love guru, don't they?
Yes, they do, Matt. Yes, they do.
I know on a certain program that goes in air on here in Australia, I know the presenter always presents you as the love guru.
Yes, that's correct, my friend.
Because your specialist subject is relationships, isn't it?
It is. It's all about relationships and all the karmic ties that go with that, whether it's a positive or a negative, and certainly all about breaking free.
I mean, which obviously is one of the things very much what the law of abundance and the law of attraction is all about. I mean, I know relationships is one particular aspect of it, but it does apply, doesn't it, Nikki?
It does, because I mean we're basically having a relationship with the universe, really, in a broader sense, in a big sense. We're constantly flowing in and out with the universe, and then you know all the people that we come across, friends, foes, people in the street, we have a very, very deep connection with all of that as well. It's all so interconnected, and to be able to kind of come to that place within yourself, knowing that, you know, very, very clearly, and working within yourself in that knowing really is, it does lift a lot of veils and opens up a lot of doors with that awareness.
Sharon, what's your take? I know before the show when we were in the quote-unquote green room, when we were having our natter before, I know you were feeling a little bit unsure of this particular subject this evening.
Well, I certainly couldn't add a great deal more than our love guru Nikki has, to be honest. I think that was a fantastic, easy a really clear explanation as to how the universe works and our purpose down here, that would be jolly difficult to add anything. But I guess it would. Sorry.
So what I was going to say was, do you want to add a discussion topic to the list of today's subjects that you can maybe have do the lead on?
Well, this show, the thing I love about this show is it grows its own legs. It seems to have a little life force of its own. I think it goes very naturally. As you know, Matthew, I am so keen to hear of any other experiences that any of the callers have experienced personally and really delve into that spiritual self-development aspect.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my area of interest. But in terms of the law of attraction, you know, like attracts like, fantastic subject, I think, to get our teeth into tonight.
Which we will do, but, I mean, obviously, because it's still in its infancy, this show, and people, without insulting people, need to be educated how this show works. This show is really going to rely on a lot of people calling in with their experiences and with their questions, because I know that we're in an era now, we're in a moment in time where it's all happening to everybody. There's all these psychic experiences happening to everybody. Everybody's coming across the psychic. They're coming across the psychic senses, which we covered last time round. And everybody is curious and they're wanting to know, because there's not exactly a definitive guidebook. There's a fantastic internet out there, but there's a lot of confusion on the internet. And the idea with this particular show, everyone, is that there's three of us here who are professional working mediums and psychics that are dealing with these psychic matters on a daily basis, 24/7. We're here to basically not pass any judgment, that's not the right word, or force an opinion on everyone, but more to say, look, this is how we're experiencing it. How are you experiencing it? So this service is entirely free. So anyone does want to call in, I actually recommend for anybody in Australia to Skype in, because I believe the guest phone with the area code is in the US. So there might be a cost with it. But if you Skype in and you can use your Skype address, you're coming on the page that you are now listening on, you're currently listening on, there will be a little Skype button somewhere on the page. When you click on that, it will ask you to launch the application, and it says you're about to make a call to the show, and you need your keypad, because you'll have to press the number one, the one on the keypad, which will put you in the queue. I can then bring you into the show, and we can then ask us out the questions, and we can answer those questions for you. Now, I've got the chat room out in front of me, and I can actually see the questions that are being asked on there. And what I thought we would do, ladies, is we'd kick off with this particular question that a friend of ours has actually asked. She's actually said, and ironically, the room has just been closed, so I can't ask that question. How weird is that?
Oh, wasn't meant to be.
I know what it was. The question was relating to spirit around us. There was a question. I'm just opening the chat room again. But I think we'll kick off with the law of abundance until I actually get the chat room back. That was phenomenally weird, because I was about to ask the question and the chat room went off.
This stuff happens.
And
it?
Everything's gone. Okay. So let's kick off with the law of abundance.
Okay.
Law of abundance.
Can somebody define the law of abundance?
Well, the law of abundance, for me personally, or what I feel around it is being able to comprehend the jewel that is inside of each and every one of us. I think that from that grateful point of view, and obviously understanding that you're here for very specific purposes, that you are very, very important, that you are part of a very, very big machine here, that everyone plays a purpose. And knowing, starting to understand and know your divinity, then I feel unblocks a lot of the conditioning that society and and generations, I guess, have placed upon us. Getting to that state obviously takes a little bit of an awareness and some patience and a lot of forgiveness. But from that point, it certainly opens a whole different world up, and it should be relatively effortless to be able to consistently stay in that flow. I think, you know, it does take some practice. It's not, well, I'm going to, you know, be abundant and that's it, or I'm just going to think nice things. Ultimately, it is about the relationship with yourself and the dialogue within yourself, and that expresses itself. So that's kind of my spin on it, Matt.
But it's also, Nikki, thanks for that. Isn't it the law of abundance, what have you are, like attracts like, what you, your state of mind, what you are thinking brings to you experiences of that vibration. Isn't that also part of the law of attraction? We're onto the law of attraction, aren't we? Yeah.
I totally agree with that. Totally. And everything is a mirror. And once we can see it as a mirror, as I said, whether it's need, want, materialistic, whatever it is, if we can see it as a mirror and obviously, okay, what am I supposed to understand with this? And you know, some experiences aren't going to be love and light. You know, some things will get brought up that aren't going to feel good. But if we can get beyond that and look at it and say, well, okay, what is it that I need to see? What is it that I need to heal and understand? You certainly take charge. You take control. And the universe doesn't know the good and bad, you know. So it doesn't – you think negatively constantly, well, the universe will provide that because there is no right and wrong within the universal realm.
Yeah. I'm just reading, we've got the question back, not off the chat room though, but friend Gillian, she'd actually asked a question. I was just going to read it out. And it's one that I feel we need to answer. We can go back to the other ones. This is interesting. Why do some spirits hang around? Ghosties, ? How do they know that a family member is seeing a medium?
Oh, that's a lovely question, isn't it?
I know. This is why I broke in and I thought, law of abundance, law of attraction, oh, we could get really deep with that. But that's a good question. And I think start it for 10. Sharon, you could start with that one. Why do some spirits hang around?
Why do some spirits hang around? My understanding of that would be, given maybe a little bit of choice at the point of death. It often in my personal experiences, the spirits that seem to hang around the most are ones that have passed very suddenly and very quickly, and quite often in a more traumatic death situation. And I guess they're just not ready to, in my opinion, you know, to move on. I also have, through, you know, various studies, I feel that those very, very strong love bonds can also hold the spirit back, not wanting to pass into the light and maybe stay around a little bit longer than they need to. That would be my understanding. But Matthew, you're the medium here, my love. I mean, this is what you do. This is what you specialise in.
Yeah, but I know as much as I'm hosting the show, I don't want to basically steal the show all the time. So
I wouldn't look at it as stealing. I mean, you know, this is an area where you are particularly knowledgeable and you do have that experience.
Nikki, what's your take on it? Why do they hang around?
Okay, well, I agree with Sharon with what she said. I also feel that some are very, very advanced on a soul level and they can come in and out. So, they're there to particularly help situations, family members heal, give them signs, open them up as well on a spiritual level. A lot of people's psychic ability opens up when people cross. And so I think sometimes it is a choice. They are able to go through different levels. They like to visit. They like to hang around. They want to make sure that loved ones are okay. I think that there's, you know, there's a few reasons across the board, but I definitely agree with Sharon and also, you know, my spin on it.
Manai, I agree with both of you totally, but I think a lot of it is actual personal sacrifice. I think, in actual fact, I think there's probably more to it than that as well. I mean, I was suddenly thinking of another example, but a lot of it is personal sacrifice. I mean, I can take it from, like, if there are two partners who have been really close their entire life and the husband passes over to spirit, he's going to want to wait around until his wife's passed over to greet him. So he's going to hang around. He's going to be around the wife all the time.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And I've felt and seen and experienced that. And certainly I experienced it with my own situation and the death of my husband.
And I mean, the thing is, I know the first time that I ever did a reading for you, Nikki, and I didn't know anything about your history. He came through straight away, didn't he? He was there. From
he
memory.
Was. Chief. Okay.
And I understand it is a bit of a self-sacrifice in a lot of ways, but there's also another one where what happens if the ghost doesn't realise that they die? What happens if their transition was a painless one? Say they passed in the sleep, or they passed in a way that they didn't actually feel that they'd passed, and they've woken up the next day. And what happens with the spirit world? What happens if it's identical to the room that they were in? How do they know that they've passed if nobody's told them?
Yeah, we had that very briefly last week, Matthew, with my grandmother, my own personal experience.
That's right.
Where she had absolutely no idea that she'd passed over. But she was jolly happy to see my grandfather all the same.
Well, that's right. That's right. We did touch on that. And then there's another thought-provoking one. What about karmic bonds? What happens if the murderer or the rapist or the raped or the person who's caused a load of shit, pardon my French, in somebody's life? Mind you, we're on an adult show, so we can swear if we want to. That's my rule. I'm sticking to it. What happens if they caused a lot of crap in somebody's life, and what they're seeing is as a result of all the control or the crap that they've caused a person in that life, that the people that are left behind can't move on? What happens if they are karmically bound to actually remain with that family?
Yeah, well, that's certainly a whole new level of things, and I think that in particular, or that sort of trauma, I mean, there is a bit of a fair exchange given back in respects to what took place. And I mean, even on a higher level, obviously, it was all understood back in the eons ago. I mean, but that's an even bigger explanation. But there's a few that are lost, that are trapped, that are bound, you know, that have those soul ties, the karmic energy with things. I mean, it's just endless, isn't it?
Well, that's correct, because I'm sort of working from recent experience when I actually say about the karmic bonds, because there's been a few readings recently where I've had a deceased father, or I've had a deceased husband or a deceased brother who is there, and the reaction from the client has been, I don't want to hear from him, I don't want to hear from her, oh no, they've given me nothing but grief in this life. I said, well, look, they're trying to put something through me, give some advice to you to try and untie the knots that they have caused in your life.
Yeah.
It's where this bit about there's a karmic bond. They know that they've caused this SH1T in someone's life, mm-hmm. and they know that they shouldn't have caused it. They've gone over to the other side. They realise they can't move on because of a karmic bond with the group that they've left behind. So then this is where they have been able to make communication with the medium or the telephone and say, look, you need to do this. I need to tell you about this. I need to tell you about this family secret. You need to know about this. Because what they're trying to do, I believe, is untie that karmic knot so they can move on. It might be for selfish reasons. They might have an ulterior motive because they want to move on. But they're making the connection with the medium because they need to untie some knots. I mean, there was a classic example that I did a reading for in recent. It was only this week, and I had to tell the lady what her late father and her late uncle had got up to. I had them both there, and she'd had basically a life of absolute crap as a result of these two people. They'd really controlled her life as the way they treated her, because she didn't really know what had happened. And there was all these rumours being spread by the mum about what had happened. And I basically hit the nail on the head with, do you remember this? Do you remember this? Do you remember this person staying in the house? Do you remember this? This happened, this happened. And I connected all the dots for her.
Well, that would have been very healing for her.
And also for the spook on the other side as well.
Yes, it would have been a severing as such, or the ending of that karmic tie, and it would have been quite a remarkable moment.
And I mean,
a release and a relief for both parties.
Definitely. So, I mean, to answer that question of why do they hang around, I don't think there is a definitive answer of it's because this. I think there is so many possibles.
There are a multitude of possibilities. One of the areas I've always found fascinating, you guys may have come across it, if you speak to nurses, for example, the consensus appears to be that the loved one who is terribly ill, etc., will most likely pass when the other loved ones have left the room. Apparently this is very, very common. You heard of that? So then, that's why I think this whole love thing comes in, the whole connection and not being able to break that sort of earthly bond to move away in their death.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of an example of it. I'm trying to recall an instance. I mean, it sounds very familiar, that Polly.
Well,
but I
can give you a real life one.
Well, please do, because part of the show is also about experiences as well.
Personal experience. A very, very dear friend of mine, Pi, God bless her soul. Classic example, you know, major cancer. She got terribly, terribly ill, bedridden, and her husband, bless him, sat beside her in their own home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with very little break, the odd 5 minutes, etc. And the one morning, weeks passed, the one morning that other friends had forced him to get out of the house, to go buy a newspaper, just do something normal. The minute he was out of the door, she passed within less than 2 minutes. And that's a real life story. And I've heard this, particularly from my Aunt Evie, who you may have spoken to yourself, Matthew. Same thing, when, you know, she's told very, very similar stories, and she's throughout her nursing career, that loved ones will often choose their time of death when their family members have left the room.
That's right, but it does
maybe
have...
Maybe they're not choosing it, some kind of, you know, there is some kind of hold. We have an influence on that loved one.
But how? What about the repercussions of that? I've had so many clients going, was my mum bothered that I wasn't there when she passed, or I'd gone out of the room and she'd passed, or my dad had died and I'd just gone, he'd sent me out to go and get a drink. I'm really upset that it has a repercussion within itself.
It does, but then I guess if you put all the stories together, you can pass on, you know, the information that it is terribly, terribly common and must be part of the process. Perhaps it makes it easier for the person who is at the very end of their life. Perhaps it does make it a little bit easier not doing it in front of their, you know, people they simply don't want to leave.
Well, that's true. I mean, there could be the dignity thing. It could be that the soul... maybe we're not meant, maybe some people are meant not meant to see those final moments.
That's what I believe. I believe that some people aren't, and I also think that there is the situation as well where at that moment of crossing, everyone's auras are meshed as well. I think that it can be quite diabolical for the people left, particularly if something leaves with the one that's crossing as well. It's kind of like a safeguard sometimes. I think some people are more prepared spiritually than others, and it's a bit of a safeguard.
Yeah.
Now, we've got an interesting second part to this question that Gillian asked. How do they know, meaning how do spirit know that a family member is seeing a medium? I think that is a classic question that we need to answer. How does somebody who's passed know that a family member is seeing a medium?
Well, as far as I know, as far as I believe, I mean, my personal belief is that we do have a grid, and I'm going to get too full on here, that everything is known, and particularly within those family ties, soul ties, hence the connections, that it's like a transistor, and that energy lights up. There's an awareness beyond their comprehension. And I feel that actually we're never alone anyway. Might not be loved ones, but we certainly have a lot of things around us constantly. And I think we tend to probably want to forget that because, you know, there's things that we all do that I guess we think that we're doing privately.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's my belief anyway. I just feel that beyond that realm, all is known and all is understood.
What's your take, Polly? What's your take on that?
I think we're, again, you know, very similar, if not the same as Nikki. To me, you know, in very simple terms, we're sharing an enormous, monstrous universe with billions and billions and billions of souls that are either, you know, alive like us or living in a different realm or past wherever they are, but we are sharing the enormous universe. So kind of makes sense that we will have those connections with each other. When I think of a medium and the spirit world, to me a medium is kind of walking around on this planet a bit like a Belisha beacon. I believe spirits are always around, eagerly awaiting their turn to communicate. And we safely assume that our loved ones are going to want to communicate with us, so they're going to be quite vigilant. And I guess they just pick up on that energy line straight away and zoom in. And again, you know, with our own experiences, the way that our readings can get suddenly hijacked by random fathers or great-grandfathers.
That's very true.
They're not always polite spirits. They will shove and push and command a hearing, in my experience.
That's right. I mean, it happened to me just last night. I had I did an IMT, an intensive mediumship training, a mentoring session with one of my clients last night, and we were supposed to be discussing symbolism and how to understand symbolism and how to interpret symbolism. And halfway through the evening, I became very much aware that I was being communicated with, and I was trying to ignore it, and I was getting all these indications, and I thought, sod it, I'm going to give the message. And the message, I actually had that person's father, and he was bugging me, and I said, I got your father, I know I've got your father here, etc., etc., etc. And he was basically indicating that he knew that the client was had worked in a library, knew about some flooding and where all the bookcases had fallen down because the roof had collapsed. My client wasn't shocked, but she was sort of, she knew what I was talking about. I said, and I'm laughing because your father was laughing about this. She said, oh, it's the type of thing that my father would have laughed at. So he'd taken that moment to actually say, hey, sod this, I can get through, I want to talk to my daughter. Now,
yeah.
Unbeknown to me at that same time, he was making a connection elsewhere, because I got an email from my client this morning to say that her sister, who lives with a mum, had received an email from a close friend that she had to ring her mum up. This lady wanted to ring her mum up and say, I've got your dad here, and he's saying that he's missing your mum, and he's going to wait for her, and everything's okay with him. And basically, I'm sorry for the odd behaviour I had at the end of my life. So the girl got two messages from her father in the space of about, well, an hour after I'd left, after she left me, there was this email. So father was like taking every opportunity he can to get through.
Yeah. That makes total sense to me.
And I mean, I've got another example, and people who've had some of the training sessions with me, they'll know about the meditation that I take people on, and it's called the Spiritualist Church on Jolly Street. Now, it sounds absolutely stupid in its concept, but we do a meditation where we do a visualization, and we actually go to a spiritualist church, which is on the other side.
Fantastic.
And it's got a congregation, just like we've got a congregation, and they have mediums on the platform, and they specifically go to those mediums to hear from their members of family who are still on this side. And anybody who's actually done that meditation with me, and I know there's a few are actually in the chat room, there's Michelle there, there's Gillian there, they will all confirm how real that that spiritual church is.
And as above, so below.
And it makes sense, doesn't it, that, I mean, there's going to be different vibrations, and some are going to be able to connect a lot easier than others. But it makes sense that if people on the earth plane are used to and associate communicating with the world, going to a platform medium or a spiritualist church, in that other reality, that's what they're going to do, isn't it?
That makes total sense. And it also, actually, Matthew, that also answers the question or actually gives confirmation on how and why our readings get hijacked.
It does, doesn't it?
It makes total sense because you know, quite often end up speaking to a mediator or a third party, passing on information from, you know, say the grandfather to the granddaughter.
Yeah.
But, you know, can't always make that direct connection with the spirit. They somehow need to have a mediator themselves.
Well, that's right. I mean, it brings the principle of spiritual guides in. I mean, how many of those spiritual guides could technically be mediums that are on the spirit plane, and people have gone to them to make a connection with this side?
Yeah, very much so.
I absolutely love it. It's just the whole mirror image and the plate glass window standing on either side of a bulletproof, soundproof window and trying to make communication.
Oh, apparently I got it wrong. Like, Gillian didn't do the meditation. She says, lol, I haven't visited yet. I kept going wolf and wandering off.
<This is honest.
laughs> I mean, there's this scenario that what about somebody like the famous Doris Stokes or Doris Collins, or what about one of the famous mediums that was on the earth plane? They go over to the other side. I wonder what career they're going to be doing on the other side.
Total oracles, I feel.
And they're going to be, no doubt, be the mediators.
Yeah, hoping for a promotion and a rest, I guess.
Well, that's right. But if they've got the means, they know how to make the connection from this world to that world, which is a darn sight harder. Surely they're going to be available on the other side to make a connection back.
Absolutely. Isn't it a beautiful feeling?
Well, it is. I mean, I know we've gone a little bit off the subject of how do spirits know that their loved ones are going to a medium, but hey, this is the nature of this show, and we're talking about law of attraction as well in a different way. So it is irrelevant.
Exactly. Well, it's still an energy vibration. The client is going to a medium hoping to make contact with their loved one. They'll be putting out the energy, they'll be putting out the network, if you like. They'll be sending the information out, and it's going to get picked up somewhere above. And excitedly, they can both be put together.
That's right. I'm just reading in the chat room people's experiences. Do you know when we were talking about that question that you raised about people dying when their loved ones go out of the room? Well, there's a couple of examples here. There's one here On my way to my dad, I copped every red light, got stuck behind every slow-moving vehicle, and missed his passing by 2 minutes. He didn't want his youngest there, just his mum and sister, I think. That's mm-hmm. what, just him and mum. So, I mean, there's a prime example that there is some kind of force there that
yeah.
doesn't want some people to see when the parents have passed.
Oh, there's definitely a force. There's definitely a force. I mean, 2 weeks prior to my husband crossing over, I'd had a dream to tell me that someone in my family was going to die. And I remember, well, I'll never ever forget the dream. And I asked, I went through all my family members except my husband. Anyway, the woman left in a car. There's a lot to it. But two weeks after that, he died. And I remember telling him about the dream and him telling me not to be silly. You know, you're silly and it means nothing. It's just hogwash. And he actually left the state. He was going for a job in New South Wales, and he left on the Friday. He was gone on the Tuesday.
Wow.
That was I guess, you know, where he chose or his time. It was certainly it was away from us.
And then the choosing as well is another subject, isn't it? Do we choose to go, or Do we have that choice?
Well, that's right. Now, I mean, I'm just cutting in here because we do have some callers. Now, I know what I'm going to do. We're gonna have a music break, and then we're going to go into area code 973, who's been waiting an awfully long time. So we're going to play a music break. This is a song that my wife, Christina, who I know will be listening, has requested. It's a song by the Bee Gees. We'll be back in about 3.5 minutes to take our first call. So you can get yourself a brew, a cup of tea, Polly, if you need one.
Oh, lovely stuff.
We're back in about 3.5 minutes, everyone.
Okay.
Yeah. That was Emotion by the Unmistakable Bee Gees. That was, pardon me, a listener's choice song requested by my wife, Christine, who I know is listening to the show. Welcome back to Conversations with Spirit 2 here on Mike Spirit FM. This is a show for everybody who's listening to actually call in and joining the discussions about the spiritual topics that we are actually talking about. We want to hear from your own experiences. We want to actually answer your own questions. So please feel free to actually call in on the show, either by Skype, by using the Skype button that you will see on the page that you're listening to the show on right now. There's a little Skype button, little blue Skype button, and you can Skype in. That is free of charge. There is also a guest call-in number, which I believe is a United States number. It's area code 760-283-4611. Polly, in the interval... Are you there, Polly?
Yeah, I'm here, my love.
I don't know if about 15 minutes ago you heard the phone ringing.
I did.
Yeah, well, apparently that was Jason, right? Mr. Betts. apparently
it's funny you say that. I had a feeling it might be, but I did hang up.
Yeah, well, he apparently heard you talking to me. He rang here. And he passed a message to Chris to pass to you that he's trying to send you emails, but they're bouncing.
Okay, that's a really important message at this time of night. Thank you so much.
And I just thought, thanks, well, Jason. The synchronicity of it all is, I'd said to Chris sort of early today, oh, I've not heard from Jason for ages, and surprise, surprise, he phoned this evening.
Oh, bless. Well, if you're listening, Jason, thank you, and I will sort my email, I promise.
No worries. I think we're going to take a call. Area code 973. Hello, what's your name and where are you calling from? Hang on a minute. If I press it properly. I973, what's your name and where are you calling from? Hello? Oh, well. We'll go to the next caller. No problem. Area code 256, are you calling for, please?
Alabama. I talked to you about a year ago.
Okay. What's your name?
Wanda.
Hiya, Wanda. How are you today? It's going to be really early hours for you.
It's early in the morning. I was actually going to sleep, and I got the reminder that your show is coming on, and I thought, well, I'm going to call.
Obviously, it's a little bit of a different show from, obviously, the other show. And obviously, we've got a time reversal. It's normally me that's in the early hours, and it's normally you that's got a sensible time. But do you have a question for any of us? Well, it's our evening, your morning.
Well, I was going to see if you could pick Passed Away that I was wondering about.
Can you just repeat that again? Because I got it, that broke up a little bit. Who's Passed Away?
Can you tell me something about a person that's passed away recently?
Okay. What I will do, Wanda, Nikki, do you want to just start this question off? Start this off, and I'll make a connection, or I'll try to make a connection.
I will certainly try, my friend. I will have a look here and see what we're picking up on. I feel here that actually... we've got a couple of people in spirit, but predominantly we've got a male energy. We've got a male and female. They're both kind of, well, I won't say fighting to get to the front, but they're certainly both very outspoken souls.
Wow.
And I want to ask you, have we had any depression running in your family or outside the circle at all that you're aware of?
That's what
we've got coming through. The there's also, even though it's recent, I'm given two different months here. We've got April, which is, you know, was last month, and we've also got a a July reference as well, and that obviously means something in particular. Now, this male that we have here, we'll call him the king, okay, because he is very, how can I say, doesn't mince his words, which means in American, he just says as it is. And he's very, very much here at the front. The lady that I have here is quite special. She's very, very gentle in her energy. And the message to you is, because you're going through quite a few changes yourself as far as your direction or what you're really wanting out of life. I think that this, all of the things that you've been through, and it's been quite an enormous long cycle for you, Wanda, and you're coming to the end of this cycle, and they are around you supporting you to make the decisions that you've been putting off, the things that you've known within your private self, and probably the things you don't speak about but think about. They're saying that they want you to do it, whatever that means. I can't tell you what that is, but they're saying take the risk. Take the risk. You have very, very strong presence in your life. The person that suffers from depression or suffered from depression, there's certainly a healing taking place. And also, did we have someone that crossed from cancer or is a July connection? Okay.
July right. And cancer.
Okay, well, we've got them here pretty strongly, and the energy is very, very loving. Do you have the dog, or did the lady have the dog? Did someone have the dog at all, the dog?
My sister's dog passed away before my dad passed away.
Okay, well, they're all together, huh?
Yeah, and then my dad's dog passed away after my mom passed away. Like two dogs passing in between their deaths.
Yeah, they're all together, all of them. All of them are together, every single one, and they've got that unit over on the other side. But they're fine, they're okay, and they said that you need to watch your diet. Something about your diet or something about your digestive system. You've got to watch your diet or make some changes there. Something along those lines. So, and also about reading the book. I'm shown a book. And that you must read the book, or maybe it's a book you've been avoiding looking at, but there's definitely energy here towards the book and it being very, very therapeutic or very good for you. And I will leave it there. I hope that that's helped, honey.
Okay.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry, Matthew.
Yeah, this connection, would this by any chance be a gentleman that you're hoping to hear from? Because
yes.
I was about to say this soul who's just passed, and then basically went, I knew it was a gentleman straight away. I'm dizzy and I've got a thing with my throat going on, and I was a difficult one on the earth plane, and I didn't die or pass as quickly as I would have liked. These are the impressions that I'm getting from this guy, but he's disorientated and it's very disjointed. This is obviously in the last couple of weeks, isn't it, or the last few weeks?
He died February the 3rd, and then I had two brothers to die. One died February the 2nd or 3rd, the other one died March the 5th, and the April reference is to the one I wanted to hear from. His birthday was April the 4th.
Okay, so which is the one that was felt and dizzy and was the difficult one? Because I got, this is the difficult one.
Emotionally, the one that died February the 2nd or 3rd.
Right, I've got two of them coming together then. Because
yes.
I've got one who's really throaty and dizzy, and there was convulsions or there was something going on with the head, and he didn't quit. Die as quick as he would like to done. Then I've got the difficult one as well. So I've got two people here.
Right.
Because
the one
they're
brother,
like chalk
I'm sorry.
I've got chalk and cheese. I've got one who quite plainly was a difficult character, and I've got one who wasn't. That's the two people
yes.
I've got here.
Yes.
And there's favoritism here, because you're not going to get one talking to you, because the other one will feel that he's missing out. If you can make sense to that.
No, can you repeat that, please?
What I'm getting is a bit of favoritism here, in that what's being said to me is you want to talk to one, but the other one doesn't want to miss out, so that's why they both come together.
Yeah.
They both
the one that was sick, the one that had lupus and that died, and his was a long, drawn-out death. But I
Yeah. He's the one that's saying it's not as quick as I would have liked it. And I've got to say that I've got his disorientation. Did he have these convulsions, or did he have any seizures?
Yes,
or anything?
Yes, seizures. The last seizure was the worst one, and it threw him over the edge.
And it did his stomach in, because I'm rocking, because my stomach's killing me.
Yes, he had stomach cancer and lupus. Yeah,
and his knees, he's reminding you of his knees as well.
Yes, he had his legs amputated. One of his legs was rotten and all. Well, I'm sorry saying that, guys, but his other leg was dying. It was completely black.
Oh, I was feeling it. Now,
he was in
asking for one. It was a little bit unfair, and I'm not saying that, because you knew both were going to come.
No, the first one I didn't. The first one that died, the younger one, it was very fast and unexpected.
No, but what they're saying, Wanda, is it's a bit unfair saying, I want to hear from one, when you knew both were going to come. And one's feeding me fish here. I've got fresh fish.
They fished. Donnie fished and Tommy fished. They both were fishermen.
That's all right. I mean, they're definitely validating to you that they are here. And they're driving me crazy, because I've got so many emotions from them. I mean, I do not remember the reading that I did for you, and I know I last spoke to you. It's a long time ago.
We discussed my brother Tommy the last time, and he's the one who passed.
Right, I don't remember, but I know what's being said here. They've got a deep respect for you, a deep respect for the work that you do. They're referencing something about a mission, or referencing doing the work for other people. And that, you're losing heart in something. Maybe it's the area that's going downhill. Maybe there's a bit more violence now. But they're referencing, can you not wander? Can you not continue to see it through?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. I was just trying to figure out, ask you if you could ask him how my brother, the first brother, died.
It's not very pleasant.
That's what I'm saying, it's still not stopped.
I don't think it's now. I'm going to blunt, and I know I'm on a live radio scenario, and I can't prove anything, but are you sure this was natural causes?
No, I don't think it is.
Neither do I, because the way that I'm getting it is I'm just hearing the word shot. It might have been a pistol. It might have been silenced by a bag. It might have been silenced because it was going through clothing, but there was a shot. Sadly, there was a shot.
Right. But I don't know. Blood until I got to his clothes back, and there's blood on his shirt and jacket.
Was it down in his stomach? Was it in his stomach area, or down at the abdomen area?
He was completely closed, and I had to push the police to do an autopsy. And I just got upset and called up for. They said it was. They tried to tell me he died of natural causes, and he did.
That doesn't feel right. And now I always train students. I always train people that the most important way to get messages is to go with something, what I call the art of knowing, claircognizance. When it feels, it doesn't feel like natural causes to me, by the aggression and the violence that was around your brother when he died.
Yes.
And there wasn't just
on the air, but the cops were trying to cover it up. They didn't want to do the autopsy. I had to push it over their head. And I talked to the forensic pathologist, because I got it ruled as a murder. Homicide.
Well, there was there was more than one person. It was almost like there was a group there, and your brother was down on the ground. Or,
Yeah,
I'm getting seven people.
I mean, there were people in a circle around him. It's almost like they were treating it, they thought he was a hobo or he was worthless or something, and it was a case of, well, this killing or this death's not important. That's how the cops, I think, saw this.
Yes, and he was in his own house, and he did suffer from a lot of depression, and people did take advantage of him. They robbed him a lot, and he would let people in. Even if they mistreated him, he'd still let them back in.
Gosh, you've had a rough time, haven't you, Wanda?
Certainly has.
Oh, I mean, I had to push every step of the way.
Yeah, do you know what, Nikki?
Yes,
Nikki
love.
Picked up for you earlier, Wanda, about the book. Remember, Nikki, you were really insistent about the book and the reading of the book. I actually feel that you're onto that, Nikki. I think it's the closing of the book, the start of the new book, the new chapter, the life of Wanda needing to start now.
Yeah, this after I get this closed out with Tommy, that I'm going on with my life. I mean, I'm okay with her passing because I know we all got to pass. I just want to get his chapter closed. And it's just, and like you said, Matthew, there are so many scenarios. I told you in the room, connect the dots. There's about 8 people that are suspect, and I just don't know which one is the actual suspect or the actual one who did it.
Well, I've been given a very rough, almost Mexican, almost Puerto Rican face straight away. He's got blackish, greyish hair. He's got a bit of a stubble. He's got some kind of scar or some kind of glare on his face or some marking on his face. And he's not a particularly nice person. And that's, I feel, who is the guilty party. Given the name like Gary or Garrick or Garrick or something of that, but that isn't a Puerto Rican name. But that's the name that seems to link here. I got that straight away. I believe your brother knew this man. And I believe they've had scuffles before.
They have before what now?
Before he died, I believe he knew who this individual was.
Yeah, he knew. All of them he knew. And the dog reference, you know, my brother had rescued a dog that this one man, I think that you're talking about, with the salt and pepper hair. They had shot the dog in the neck with a .22. My brother did not like that, so he took the dog with him and didn't want them to get it back because they didn't want him to hurt the dog.
He's saying syndicate.
Hmm?
He's saying syndicate. Now, I'm not saying that's a drug syndicate, but I'm saying there's a syndicate. There's a group of men here. There's a syndicate. There's an association, a syndicate.
Yeah. But should the police also be involved? Because the police were mad at him, too, because they tried to pin something on him he didn't do.
Well, you've got like protection racket or money laundering or something going on here.
Can I just say something, Matthew?
Yeah, of course you can, Nikki, because I'm going to have to draw this to a close very shortly anyway.
Yeah.
We need a music break.
What I will say, because I picked up on seven people, and it's number 3. So in that list, number 3.
Right.
And that's what I'm getting, and I'll just share that with you, and I'm finished.
Okay, so there's 3 that's in there, 3 that's really responsible.
No, it's the 3rd. So if there's a list of 7 or 8.
There might be an identity parade, and it's number 3. There might be 7 men, and it might be the 3rd person. Say, I'm getting it from the left to the right.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to say this a moment ago. There's like 3 incidents over here, 3 people over here, then another 3 people, and then another 3 people. So it's like 8 people, right about 8 people. There's like 3 here, 3 there, 3 here. And I don't know which 3 to start going towards. And that's been my problem. Because I don't want the wrong person to go down.
That's right.
I don't. I can't do it.
We're gonna have to leave the reading there, Wanda. But you know how to get hold of me if you need an extended reading. Yeah.
Let me tell you this right quick. You had told me when I talked to you last time, I was worried about my brother, and you told me my grandmother was going to watch my brother because he was depressed and he was talking about suicide. And you told me that she was going to make sure he didn't commit suicide. He was murdered.
Oh, jeez.
She kept him from committing suicide. That's where the depression comes in, everybody. But I'll let you guys go, so you guys remember, and I'm going in and listen.
Right.
Or just put
all
me
right
on the hold. Let me hear it on the phone, if you don't mind. Thank you,
okay,
guys. I'm going to make a reading with you, book a reading with you and Chris.
Thank you, Wanda. It was lovely talking
to you
again. Thank
lovely
you.
Lovely talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye, Wanda.
Right, ladies, we're going to have a 5-minute music break, and then we've got a number of subjects that are in the chat room which we can actually raise. So we've got about 5 minutes here. We'll come back in about just over 5 minutes. Speak soon.
Okay.
Electric
Hello and welcome back to Conversations with Spirit 2 here on Mike Spirit FM. I'm your host, Matthew James. I'm a medium and clairvoyant. My guests this evening are Sharon Tunbridge from Auckland and the fantastic Nikki Stewart from Queensland. Now, I've been looking in the chat room. We've got quite a few little questions and a few things going on in there. The irony is that there's been a request for a classic Led Zeppelin track, Stairway to Heaven. And surprise, surprise, what's in the music list for us this evening but Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. Now, it's a long song. It's 8 minutes long. So what we'll actually do is have that as the outro. So we will actually finish off the evening with Stairway to Heaven, because it is probably about the most spiritual rock song of all time. And there's very few people who haven't heard of the song. So I think we will actually we'll play that as our outro. Now, I've not actually done any plugging about myself at all in the show, which is most unusual. So anyone wants to actually find out about a bit about tongue-tied Freudian slip, I'll tell the story about the Freudian slip shortly, because that was what was happening on Tuesday in the last show. But for anyone who's interested in finding out more about me, my website is www.matthewjamesmedium.com. I'm on Facebook, and my Facebook identity is all uppercase MJ Medium. I've also got a website which is www.intensivemediumshipworkshop.com, I believe, but I will confirm that one when I find it, because I can't remember that one. I don't always put that one out very often. But Nikki, what's your website so people can find you?
Thank you. It's www.soulsea.com, and on Facebook it is all uppercase Nikki Stewart Medium.
And then Sharon, you don't have a website yet.
No, I can be contacted by your website.
Most
I'm
definitely.
Sure.
Anyone?
I'm sure the lovely Christine will do a fabulous job. And I'd just like to say, guys, if you don't mind, I really enjoyed listening to your previous reading. It was a very, very difficult one, and a very, very, very bad one. I'm sure Wanda will be absolutely thrilled with the validation, the information that you both came up with. Quite frankly, blew me away. And I'm sure the callers will be agreeing with me on that one. Well done.
That was very emotionally draining, because for people who are listening in as a medium, and I know Nikki will confirm it as well, you do get the full impact of the person that you're doing the reading for, all their emotions, plus the souls that are on the other side, the spooks are on the other side. And I had got a brother there who was absolutely desperate to speak to his sister about what had actually happened. And my visual cortex was overloading with all the information. I had his memories. It's very hard to explain, but I was overshadowed.
Yeah.
And I was actually seeing the scene. When I was describing, I was actually experiencing, I was actually seeing. So I was able to describe the slug in my stomach, unfortunately.
And feel it, no doubt.
Yeah.
Wanda, if you're still listening, Wanda, I definitely get a hold of Matthew and get the rest of that information. I think you had a great connection there, my love. And now's the time to jump on it.
I mean, it was also, I had the guy's fear, and it is, the adrenaline and the fear is horrible. And when you're feeling it as a second person and you've got no control over it, until that spook decides that I'm going to break the connection, it gets a little bit overwhelming.
But I kind of sense he's still got a lot more to say to her. But that needs to be said in private, doesn't it, Matthew?
That is correct. I mean, I generally, as a golden rule, whether I'm doing a live show or I'm on air on radio, there's certain subjects that I don't normally talk about. But that was one where you never know who else is listening to this radio show. I'm hoping that there is somebody out there in Alabama who was listening to this, who could help Wanda with this situation.
Yeah, jog their memories a little.
Not only that, maybe for all I know, there could be somebody who could. I don't know. I just got the sense of this unknown help, this help, this aid that she's going to get as far as that situation.
Definitely.
Anyway,
moving on. Very impressed. And what are we moving on to now, Matthew?
Do we want to move on to? We've covered law. Well, we've sort of touched law of abundance. We've sort of touched law of attraction. We've sort of gone to karma and karma lessons. And I'm bitterly disappointed with our listeners, and I really am, that nobody's dared phone in with a question. It is their show.
Absolutely. And prime opportunity to get their questions answered by experience.
What I think we need to do, Polly, is set up a recording that when nobody's phoning in, we do the Patrick Swayze from Go. So I'm going to have to sing. And believe me, nobody wants to hear me.
Oh, no. No, Matthew. No,
and
don't go there, love.
And keep playing it and keep playing it and keep playing it until we get someone calling in.
No, look, as much as we love you, the dulcet tone isn't required on this show, really, truly.
Quick, start calling in now. I did have singing lessons once, by the way. Are you any good at singing, Nikki?
No, I'm not.
We could have the dulcet choir. And what we'll do, when nobody's ringing in with any suggestions, we'll do the dulcet choir. And we'll have a recording, and I'll press MP3, and it'll be that blimmin' awful. We'll force everyone to ring in with the questions.
Oh, I think I'm having palpitations here. I've been paying
a miserable lot on the chat room. I now can't see any of their questions. There's plenty of things about how parents have passed and etc., but nobody's given us any questions. Is there anybody out there besides us three who've got a question or want to know about the spirit world? Oh, God, somebody going, I'm Henry VIII. I'm Henry VIII, I am. That's what Patrick Swayze said in Ghost, isn't it?
Yeah, brilliant movie, though. That had a few very realistic parts in it, didn't it?
Well, yeah, because what interested me was the bit where we had the fraudulent medium that... Whoopi Goldberg was playing.
Yeah.
She was there with her sisters, and all the girls were around her. And it was that hilarious bit where she was saying, oh, I've got your mum here, and she's telling you that she loves you and whatever. And you can see them in the background going, I never said that. I never said that. And then suddenly the connections are all being made.
Yeah. Definitely a good visual there.
Oh, definitely. And that's what I so loved about the Ghost film was visually it was spot on.
And how you imagine, the kinds of that we see.
Here's a question for you both, because something's happening which is a normal phenomenon for me. How do you guys see spirit? Can we help people who are listening in to see how they see spirit or how you sense spirit?
Well, for me, the first spirit I saw, I was 13, and it was she just suddenly manifested in my chair in my bedroom and gave me a hell of a shock. I did swear at her. I won't say the words. But it was very rude for a 13-year-old. And it was really hard, Matthew, to get back. It's real, sitting in my chair, looking at me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until the next day when my mum's friend, very well-known psychic, actually, Cheryl in the UK, and she walked in the door. She said, oh, my goodness me. She goes, you poor thing. And she's saying she didn't mean to upset you and she didn't mean to scare you. And I think I said the same words to Cheryl and ran away. That was my first experience. But nowadays, I actually see them feet first. I see the shoes first. And then I work my way up very slowly and tend we get to the top of the head. How about you, Nikki?
I've had a few, I wouldn't say a lot, manifest in the physical, quite a hard job. Probably my my husband's manifestation was the greatest one I ever saw, and that was pretty amazing. Usually I'll start to get jolted. I'll have little electric shocks, you know, the hair will stand on end. In my mind's eye, I will, when I'm not concentrating, you know, they tend to come in. It's when I'm really, really, really focused that it's more difficult. But when I'm in that state, or I know I'm going to do a mediumship, and I create that, just that letting go within me, it seems to open up a door, and within my mind's eye, I get a pretty good impression of who they are, you know, what they look like, and things like that. But the actual manifestation, my husband's was just unbelievable, and I haven't had one.
Real.
Oh God, yeah, it was quite amazing.
Yes,
I know.
Same as my lady in the chair.
What sprung to mind is something that Chris, my wife, was telling somebody only a few days ago, a classic manifestation. When her mother died, and her mum, Alice, was a fantastic medium. All right, she wasn't a professional medium, but she was a fantastic medium. When she passed, how I believe the story went was Chrissy's sister's husband, so obviously her brother-in-law, who was a total non-believer, was coming out of the room or had gone upstairs to the toilet or something in the house, and Alice had completely manifested in front of him and gone, "Hey, tell everybody I'm all right, I'm still here, I'm fine." And apparently he'd rushed out of the house at tremendous speed, told Chrissy's sister that we're going. They went all the way back up to Ayr, which was a 3 or 4 hour, 5 hour, 6 hour drive from where they were staying, where the house was, and refused to speak to Chrissy's sister for, I believe it was a few weeks. She then said, "What's going on? What's going on?" And he said, "Your mum completely manifested in solid form in front of me. I freaked and I couldn't handle it." And he then has become like a spiritualist. That to me is one of the classic examples of a manifestation.
Yes, to the unsuspecting.
And they always come to the non-believer, don't they? The ones that have got the open mind that people can say, "Oh, you've always been, you're only imagining it." Hey, you go to the one in the room that you know that people will say, "Hang on a minute.
The greatest skeptics have become the greatest clients."
That's right. I mean, on the subject of skeptics, I enjoy the skeptic. I enjoy the reading with the skeptic, because isn't it a challenge? I know both of you ladies will have dealt with skeptics in your time. I know for you, Polly, it's on a daily basis, isn't it, with the phone line that you go on?
It is, yes. Not as many skeptics now, though, as used to be. I think people are having their, as we've just been talking about there, their own personal experiences, and starting to learn how to make their own connections, and are now seeking help to, you know, further their connections to maybe get more spiritually in tune.
Talking about connections, we've got a line of callers here who are going to be getting very impatient because we have been ignoring them. Are we up for another caller?
Yes, we must invite them on.
Okay, so area code 601, where are you calling from, please? Hello, 601?
Hello.
Where are you calling from?
Mississippi.
And what's your name, please?
Tara.
Sarah or Sarah?
Tara, T-A-R-A.
All right.
Tara.
Tara. It's Tara. All right. What's your question for us? Well, it's your morning. What's your question for us?
Just does Spirit have any messages for me?
Okay. I'm going to put Sharon on the spot here because her special subject isn't mediumship. I know that she can do it brilliantly. She's got the energy of both me and Nikki to actually support her. So, Sharon,
okay.
What have you got a message for Tara?
Tara, let's see what we can get for you, Tara. So,
okay.
Just help me. Can you hear me okay?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good. You're a little bit faint. Just talk to me a little bit, my love. Ask me a question.
Okay. Just a relationship. I've met someone, and is there more than just friendship there, or will there be? Because I feel like they want it to be, and should I pursue it?
Well, you say you've just met him, but I get quite a sparkly feeling about you, actually. And if I'm right here, Tara, I'd say there's been a little bit of flirtatiousness going on for a while. Now, one of you has had the eye on the other, and it hasn't been a recent thing, so I don't feel this is a guy you've just suddenly met. I think
we just recently gotten closer in regards to friendship over time, so, I feel like they do flirt.
Oh, cool. Are you comfortable giving me his name on it?
Actually, it's a female co-worker.
That's fine. Are you comfortable giving me her name?
Kayla.
Kayla.
Yes.
Kayla. Well, I can tell you straight away, Kayla will give you a run for your money because you can be quite stubborn.
Uh-huh.
And you're definitely a lady that knows what she wants. Around the heart area, a little bit bruised, but you know what? You're ready for this one, aren't you? You're actually
And I think we're just both kind of shy, and it is because it is in the workplace, but I just want to know, is there a mutual attraction there? Am I picking up on that right?
You're totally picking up on that right. As I say, this is not something new. This is something that's been sparkling away for a little while. You're both on the same page. You're both reading from the same book. And it's not far away. I think we've got a very natural connection with you two. And I think this relationship or the friendship will grow itself very smoothly. I do feel that you're going to be moving into a social arena with her, whether that's a forced social occasion or whether it's something you decide between the two of you. This one will be moving outside of the workplace and it will most certainly be moving into one or both of your homes. You can expect some social invitations and some private time together. I really like what's going on between you two. Both of you have a similar history. There's a little residue there for both of you, a little bit of heartbreak, a little bit of uncertainty. But together, I think you're really going to spark off. I think you're going to enjoy yourselves. That would be my prediction.
Yeah.
Love you.
Tara, I've been giving a little bit of enigma or a puzzle here from a grandfather. Now, all I know is he's asking you what comes first, the chicken or the egg. So the question is, who's going to make the first move?
Right.
The chicken or the egg? Are you the egg or are you the chicken?
Probably the chicken.
You're probably the chicken. So, in other words, there's a certain inevitability about this. Now, I'm going to say what he said was rather blunt, and we were talking about the word libido. Now you've got your libido sorted out, and you know you've got your head straight what you want. You need to go for this before you lose your opportunity. And blunt as that. In other words, is acknowledging that you've had quite a bit of confusion in your life up to this point.
Right. Yeah, lots of confusion.
Maybe not an approval from him, because obviously it would have been nice to have grandchildren with you. But at the end of the day, what's basically been saying, hey, hon, so long as you're happy, that's all that is important. But once you combine with this girl, it's it's a matter of time. Hopefully she'll meet her expectations. Keep high hopes and high expectations. That's how it's been passed to me.
Okay.
So there is an inevitability about this.
Okay, so we're both on the same page, basically.
Basically, yeah. Now, Nikki, can you just want to ask your add your little bit to this?
Yeah. I feel because it is in, I mean, being in the workplace does make it a little bit awkward, and not everyone is liberal about these sorts of things. So
that's my problem.
Yeah, it has.
And I think that's why we haven't come out and said it.
Yeah, I mean, there is clearly an energy here between you both, and I do feel that in your private space, I mean, in a separate sense, you both acknowledge that because you do have a flow
yeah.
here, you do have a soul tie. This is the type of thing where you can tell her your deepest, darkest secrets, and she will you because there's a non-judgment between you, which is felt very strongly. I think that you both have something in common here, along the lines of really, really struggling on, not so much, I guess, an emotional front, but a little bit, you both had demons and have both kind of come out in simultaneous cycles, actually. It just seems like you have some commonalities together. There are some similarities in some experiences and probably time frames. I just think that you just have to be a little bit, obviously a little bit careful and you are going to have to take a risk and just take it very, very easy. Both of you need to take it extremely slowly because, you know, trust is a big deal for both of you. Trust is a big deal. And there's been some wounding done by men. I don't know which one, either you or her, but there's been some wounding here by male, whether that's family or whether that's relationship energy, I'm not sure, but there's been wounding here, and you know, you're both uh-huh. coming into a breakthrough. There's a freedom that's coming through, and certainly a healing, but to be great uh-huh. friends will mean you will be great lovers, and I think the friendship has to be really nurtured. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
that's lovely.
I was just going to say
to our lovely caller, I hope you can cook because she's going to be round at your house for dinner, love.
Yeah.
She's going to what now?
She's going to be round and you're going to be cooking for her, whether your her place or your place. So I hope she can cook because she likes her food.
Okay, that's what, yeah, she does.
Yes. Thank you for calling in, Tara, and
thank you so much for helping me clear that up.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much. Bless y'all. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, ladies, we've got about 20 minutes. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pose a question to you, and then we're going to have about a four-minute break. And in that 4 minutes, we're going to muse over this fantastic, awesome question that someone's asked us in the chat room. How do you tell that what a spirit guide is telling you is in your best interest and not theirs?
Good question.
Right, we've got about 4 minutes to think about that. 4 minutes, 23 seconds, and then we will do a discussion when we come back.
Okay.
Welcome back. This is Conversations with Spirit 2. I'm your host, Hugh James. In the guest seats, we've got Nikki Stewart from Queensland. I've got Freudian slip, Sharon Tunbridge from Auckland. Now, this Freudian slip thing, ladies, I was getting completely tongue-tied on Tuesday morning show, and I was like dropping these clangers all the way through. And what it was is I was being overshadowed by someone's relative, so I was sort of making this reference to these Freudian slips, and I've still got them.
I thought you were actually going to say that Sharon, we've got Cher here, you know, or Cher.
I know. I didn't know whether I was going to say Polly or I was going to say Sharon Tunbridge. I didn't know which alter ego was.
It's confusing because my real name's Sharon and I work under the name Polly.
That's correct. Anyway, that last song was Gypsy Woman by Santana. And you're a bit of a gypsy woman, aren't you, Nikki, with your lineage?
I certainly am. Macedonian gypsy. Bit of a Highlander.
Cool. I know. When I was playing that song, I suddenly thought, I've talked to Nick in quite a bit of length with her lineage. I'm just stalling here because I know we're all pensive about answering that question.
And some of us have forgotten the question. You may have to repeat it, Matt.
that's like too easy to get out of.
No, I really have forgotten. I am a blonde.
And you are from Essex, yeah, okay.
I'm Essex, I'm a blonde, and I do have white stilettos, and I have honestly gotten the question.
How do you tell that what a spirit guide is telling you is in your best interest and not theirs?
Not theirs?
Well,
that's an interesting question.
Well, do you want to answer first, Sharon, or do you want me to?
Oh, no, I'm quite happy to go first.
She's bottling it, everybody.
No, well, I mean, you know, let's break it down. So is this in terms of our...
I think what they're saying is when a spirit guide puts a message on, do they have an ulterior motive? Do they have a hidden agenda? I mean, are they being benevolent or are they being malevolent? I think that's the message here. How do we trust what a spirit guide's giving?
Yeah, I guess this answer's got to come in two parts. The first part being... from the perspective of a clairvoyant medium, i.e. us working professionally, and also from the individuals, for the people out there that are receiving their own messages and trying to decipher those. Would I be
I would say so. I mean, how can you what they're saying, somebody's asking is, how can you trust a message from the spirit guide? Is it a helpful message? Or is it that spirit guide is in some way want to adapt a little bit of trickery and gain an advantage by that connection? And I mean, all I can really answer is, as well, again, it's the individuals. I would imagine that each of these spirit guides have got their own agenda. Some are going to be benevolent. Some are going to be malevolent. Some of them are going to be that the karmic bond scenario that I was referring to earlier, where it's in their interest to pass some advice on that's going to help the recipient of the message. Mm. But there's also the fear factor as well, as far as I'm concerned. There's this feeling that you're going to get some entity that the unwary medium or the unwary recipient believes wholeheartedly what is being said to them, and they fall hook, line and sinker into a bit of a deception. I mean, all these instances I've seen examples of, so you can't just answer yes specifically it's going to be like this. It's very much like saying, can we trust a conversation with every single human being on the planet? Well, of course you can't, because some are going to deceive you, some you can actually trust, and you can only find out which way, well, it's malevolent or benevolent, by experience.
Absolutely.
Brilliant answer, yeah.
It is a brilliant answer, and as you were giving your answer, I had this image of someone that has not had alcohol. You know, I saw someone that has been dry, let's say, for 2 years and has been an alcoholic. And you've got, you know, a little bit of a meanie, you know, communicating to this man and saying, well, one drink won't hurt you, won't do anything, you're in control, come on, you know, it's going to be okay, you can stop. that sort of stuff, I feel, I mean, very much so is a nasty and really isn't obviously of best interest, you know, or certainly anything along the lines that really raise the ego, you know, where it becomes a very, very, how can I say, self-absorbed type energy as well, where judgment is big. You know, it's just, yeah, the ego side of things, I feel, is a good indicator when you're being propped up by something that is not, you know, not meaning well.
That's right. I mean, you've hit the nail on the head. I firmly believe it depends on the recipient's ego. Because, yeah. Again, it's the law of attraction. You attract to you. You attract an entity to you.
Absolutely.
And it will work with you. And, I mean, the scenario is if you've got control of your ego and you know... How do I put it? You know the quality of message that you personally pass on. You will know, therefore, the quality of the message that you are going to see. Therefore, if you are somebody who is giving, let's say, messages that are a little vague and are a little bit wayward, that's going to be the quality of the person that's going to guide you or is going to communicate with you.
As a professional psychic, who should, you know, technically, who should be able to sort the good guys from the bad guys, and that starts way before we give the reading.
But that's the experience bit, Paul. That's the experience bit.
That's the experience bit. For people that are not experienced, the only thing you have to trust
trial
is
and
your
error.
Own intuition. It's your intuition. And what's resonating with you. And before you can even get involved with all of that, clearing the pathways, and as you say, we've got to get rid of the ego.
That's right. And it is all trial and error. And you can always tell the quality of a guide or a communicator by the quality of the message that a medium's giving. If it is all vague and you have to feed the person and it's a little bit hit and miss, then you have to question the quality of the connection. But if the message is precise with names and how people died and the personal life and all that validation, then you know the communicator that medium or that clairvoyant has is quality. And you can trust the information that's coming through.
Can trust the information and still run your own intuition through that as well. And you'll know instinctively that what you're receiving is right for you. At the end of the day, you've got your messengers, but it's your responsibility also to be open and to run it through your own internal system, and it will give you the answers.
That is correct. Now, ladies, we've got about 11 minutes left, and we've got an outro song that's 8 minutes long. I just want to try a bit of an experiment. I've turned the volume down on Stairway to Heaven, and I want to see if we can carry on talking whilst it's in the background.
Okay.
Hopefully we can. So we've got about 3 minutes left, everybody. So just bear with me a sec. Now, are we still? Do you reckon we're still talking? Do you reckon we're still on air?
I've got you.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, we're having a great time, and it's been a lovely evening once again.
Yeah. Well, that hopefully playing in the background. Maybe the.
I can't hear anything.
No. I thought I was going to try an experiment, but it doesn't work. So it's playing away, but you can't hear it.
Well, one of the things, Matthew, I think it's really important at the end of the show is to make sure, once again, all callers and all listeners have the correct contact details, and anyone that wants to book a reading, even if they want to book it right now, can do so.
Yeah.
We maybe just repeat ways that you guys can be contacted.
Yeah. Nikki, you go first this time.
Okay, it's www.soulsea.com, and my Facebook page is all uppercase Nikki Stewart Medium.
Okay.
And your weather dress, without spelling it, Nikki, what is it? Because I can't spell.
It's Sol C.
Sol C. S E A.
Yes, yeah, Sol C. Yep, S E A.
Okay, and anyone who wants to contact me, it's www.matthewjamesmedium.com or it's MJ Medium on Facebook. Now, I'm going to, obviously, if anyone wants a reading with Sharon, contact me and we can put you in touch with Sharon because Sharon is working on her website. But I'm going to thank my fantastic guests this evening, Sharon Tunbridge and Nikki Stewart. I know they will be back next week. I don't even have to ask them because I know they are, that they're so willing to be resident guests. That's correct, ladies, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh,
fun.
Ah, Sharon, we said it at the same time.
I know, it's not work, is it? This is fun. We do our work all day long giving readings. This is a great little social event.
And what
life,
we need from you listeners, everybody who's listening, we need you to rack your brains and come up with things that you need to know from us, from this show, about your spiritual experiences. You must have questions about psychic matters, about paranormal matters, UFOs, aliens, whatever it is, even if it's about the pyramids, whatever it is. Send me a PM, send me an email, send Sharon a PM or an email, or even Nikki, and we can answer your questions online. Or you can actually call in and you can speak to us in person, which is what we're trying to encourage. So until next week, we've got about 8 minutes left, and I want everybody to be able to listen to the Clock Stairway to Heaven. Until next week, same time, same place. You've been listening to Conversations with Spirit 2. I'm going to be doing it all over again on, it's Monday Night UK, which is GMT 9 till 11. It's 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. here in Canberra with Conversations with Spirit, the original show. I've got Katie Keeley and Peter Frodsham on as my live studio guests next week, and we will be taking live calls. We will be doing live readings. But until next week, thank you, ladies, for participating, and good night, everybody. I will leave you with Stairway to Heaven, as requested by Michelle Thompson.
Good night.
Night, everybody.
Good night. Good night. She's buying a stairway. Yeah.
just for the record, everybody, one of the subjects we're going to be discussing next week is going to be twin flames and soulmates and group souls.
Oh, yippee. That's an excellent subject.
Because I know we've got a surprise guest who's going to be coming on into my onto the show. He's going to be here with me, and his specialist subject, everybody, is twin flames. And I know we had questions about soulmates and soul families in the chat room tonight. So we're going to talk about the twin flames and the soulmates and all that manner of things.
How cool.
So there you
brilliant
go, everybody.
Subject. I love it. Can't wait.
So, me too.
And I've just sussed how to work this.
Yes, it's a bit late.
I know. Okay, everybody, good night. You've been listening to Conversations with Spirit 2. We will be talking about twin flames and soulmates and group souls and the whole concept of those matters next week. You've been listening to Matthew James, and so it's bye-bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in to Matthew James Medium. You can contact Matthew anytime by logging on to www.matthewjamesmedium.com. Until next week, goodbye.